Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I wish to read to you a passage of Scripture which is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus Christ had been born into the world. His conception was by the Holy Spirit. His mother was Mary. She was a young virgin girl whom God had selected to bring forth her son, who would be born into the world of flesh and blood. His mission would become the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. In this reading in Matthew chapter 4, we have Jesus pointing to that Old Testament prophecy which was given by Isaiah, that the gospel would come into the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, and a light would be sprung up. These people sat in the land of darkness. They were under the shadow of death. But Jesus brought light. In John 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus came to bestow upon humanity the light of life. He came to deliver us from the veil of darkness, from the shadow of death. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, had predicted his coming into this land and the mission for which he was destined. Jesus would bring light to a world which sat in darkness and was under the condemnation of death. He began, the Bible said, to preach. The message of his preaching was very simple: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus had taken up his cousin John's sermon outline, which is recorded in Matthew 3 and verse 2, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." God, in the pages of the Old Testament, through the various prophets, had promised the coming of a kingdom. Daniel saw the kingdom of God as an eternal kingdom that would be established in the days of Roman rule, Roman domination. Daniel saw that this kingdom would be everlasting in its nature, that no power would be able to overcome it, and that this kingdom would be subdued by no one or anything. Jesus now announces that the kingdom of heaven is coming. And because the kingdom is coming, you must repent. Repentance is the law of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom that is dependent upon repentance. Repentance means that we change our mind and we change our heart. We turn to walk in a different direction. And whereas we are in the land of darkness and under the shadow of death, we begin to walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are governed and controlled by His law, which is the nature of His kingdom. Jesus came to be the king of a great eternal kingdom. This kingdom would involve all nations. The message of this kingdom would be proclaimed throughout all the world. Everyone who desired could come and become a subject of this kingdom. Jesus said, "You must repent." In Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, After Jesus had been resurrected from the grave, and he was spending some days with his disciples before he ascended back into heaven unto his heavenly Father to be seated upon the throne of his kingdom, he spoke to his disciples and he gave them this commission, this charge, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The power of God, the coming of the Holy Spirit, would be bestowed upon them in the city of Jerusalem. We find in Acts chapter 2 that they are assembled in Jerusalem. We find that the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they began to preach. And the message that they preach is repentance and remission of sins. Jesus said, "You will go forth, and the message of your preaching will be repentance and the remission or the forgiveness of sin." When the Holy Spirit has come upon the apostles in the city of Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2 records their preaching. And after Peter had preached unto them concerning the crucifixion of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus, and the seating of Jesus at the right hand of God, this multitude was pricked in their heart. They were convicted of the transgression that they had committed against God and against the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw that they had crucified the innocent one. They had killed the Lamb of God upon the cross, and now they desired to change. That conviction led them to ask, "What shall we do?" When we are convicted of our sin, we seek to change our life. We seek to repent. And Peter preaches repentance and the remission of sins. In Acts 2 and verse 38, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." As they repented or changed the direction of their life, and were sorrowful for the trespasses of their past, they would be baptized. And in their baptism, all sin would be removed. All sin would be washed away. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And they would become citizens of this heavenly kingdom. Repentance was preached by Jesus. Jesus taught repentance. In Luke 13, verses 1 through 5, Jesus is speaking with a group of individuals, and there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Pilate had mingled the blood of these Galileans with the sacrifices that they were making. And Jesus answering said unto them, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things?" Jesus inquired if they believed that because of the sacrifice that they had made, because of the mingling of their own blood with their sacrifices by Pilate, were they sinners above all sinners? Were they the worst of sinners? Did they suffer these atrocities because of the sins that they had committed, of which they were guilty? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus said, "You must repent, or the consequence of failing to do so, you will perish." We either repent or perish. We either repent or we remain lost. Jesus told them that they must repent of their sin. Are those 18, as he continues, upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus uses these two examples from the history of the Jews to teach them concerning repentance. The truth which was proclaimed by Jesus was that you must repent. Every individual must repent of his own trespass. Every individual must turn from his own sinful life. Every individual must take the journey from the land of darkness to the land of light. That journey begins with repentance. In Luke 15, Jesus has answered the inquiry as to why he was eating with publicans and sinners. And he tells the story of a lamb that has strayed away from the sheepfold and has become lost. And the shepherd leaves those sheep that remain in the fold and goes to find that one that was lost. And in verse 7, Jesus said, "Likewise there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." When this shepherd found this sheep that was lost, he returned that sheep to the sheepfold, and he was joyous because he had found the sheep that was lost. Jesus said, "Heaven rejoices over every sinner that repents." The sinner must repent. The sinner must change his or her life. We must leave the behavior of the past and embark upon the behavior of life in Christ. We must turn away from sinfulness and wickedness and turn unto Christ and walk in His light and in His law. In Matthew 12 and verse 41, Jesus said, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Jonas was that Old Testament prophet whom God had selected to go to the city of Nineveh. The city of Nineveh was a very wicked city. Jonah was to carry this message from God. "You have 40 days to repent and turn from your transgression, or else I'm going to destroy the city." Jonah went forth with that message to the people of Nineveh. And when you read those four chapters of this Old Testament book of Jonah, you will find that these Ninevites repented of their sin. They turned from their evil and wicked lifestyle. And as a result, God forgave them and did not bring the wrath upon them which He had promised if they failed to repent. And now Jesus uses that example from the Old Testament of which these religious leaders were knowledgeable and said, "Behold, a greater than Jonas is here." You need to repent because I am greater than Jonas. Jonas was simply a prophet that God had selected and sent on a mission of preaching repentance. But I am the Son of God. I am the Christ who has come to save. I am the anointed one of the Almighty God. I am greater than Jonas. You must repent when you hear the message that I preach. Jesus preached the message of repentance. "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus also preached the kingdom of heaven. He taught that the kingdom of God was coming. The phrase "at hand" means near, about to take place, coming to pass. Jesus had come to establish the kingdom. Jesus had come to fulfill the ancient prophecy of Daniel that a kingdom would come into existence. Jesus had come to fulfill the promise that Gabriel had made to Mary, that she would conceive in her womb and bring forth a child. "He shall be great. He shall sit upon the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Israel, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Luke 1:31-33. The angel who spoke to Mary promised her that the child which she would bring into the world through physical birth would be the one who would sit upon David's throne and who would enjoy the rule of an everlasting kingdom. And so Jesus embarked upon his ministry and began to preach. He preached the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus teaches various parables concerning the kingdom of heaven. He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Jesus explains that the purpose of his parables was because some would be willing to hear and to understand what he was saying. They would seek out the truth that he was teaching. But there would also be those who would not desire to know his truth, who would not seek the understanding of his truth, and therefore they would not be delivered from their transgression. And so Jesus taught in parables, but the parables that he teaches in Matthew, the 13th chapter, concern the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Jesus teaches in this wonderful chapter concerning the kingdom of God, how the kingdom begins. Seed is sown. That seed, he explains, is the gospel. The gospel is preached. The gospel is heard. The gospel is received into the human soul. And we obey the gospel. The seed is planted. The seed produces fruit. The kingdom of heaven begins with seed that is planted. In a second parable, Jesus teaches that there will be obstacles to that seed being sown. The devil will interfere with the sowing of the seed. The devil will assault those who hear the gospel. He will turn away their hearts from hearing the gospel. There will be tares sown among this seed, as Jesus teaches. And so as the gospel is preached, there is always an interference made by Satan. Satan will tempt one who desires to hear the gospel, not to obey the gospel, refuse to hear the gospel, refuse to turn unto Christ, refuse to remove yourself from the land of darkness, from the shadow of death, into the land of light, the light of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus teaches a parable showing the growth and the extent of the kingdom. He says it's like mustard seed that is sown in the ground, and behold, it brings forth a great tree, and the birds of the heaven come to sit in its branches. Jesus is teaching that the kingdom is going to have a very small beginning, but it's going to grow and it's going to spread and its influence is going to be mighty. And in a fourth parable, Jesus teaches the influence of the kingdom. It's going to be like leaven that is placed in the bread. And as that bread begins to bake, that leaven is activated and it begins to increase the size of the loaf. And so the gospel will have an influence upon those who hear it. We will begin to grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus uses two parables to teach the value of the kingdom. He talks about a treasure hidden in a field and a pearl of great price. He says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto these two things. And we find that when a man finds that treasure in the field, he hides it, he goes and sells all that he has so that he might acquire the possession of that land. That's how valuable the kingdom is. One is willing to give up anything in his life, turn from any sin and transgression, so that he might possess the kingdom. Or the kingdom is like a pearl of great price, and when it is found, you're willing to sell everything that you have so that you might buy this one precious pearl. Jesus said, this is the likeness of the kingdom of heaven. This is the value of the kingdom of heaven. And then in a final parable in Matthew chapter 13, he says, the kingdom is like a net that is cast and gathered of every kind. And he speaks of the separation that will take place at the end of the world. The wicked will be severed from among the just. The wicked will be cut off. And just like fish that are not worthy of being eaten and kept will be thrown away. Jesus said that the wicked will be cast into a lake of fire at the end of time. And so in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus teaches these wonderful parables concerning the kingdom of heaven because he came to preach the kingdom of heaven. He came to establish the kingdom of heaven. You see the beginning, you see the obstacle, you see the spread, the influence, the value, and the distinction of the kingdom, how that those that are wicked will not be a part of that everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus called disciples to the kingdom. As Jesus went about preaching, he invited those who heard him to follow him and become members of his kingdom. In Matthew 16, 24 through 28, he said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. As Jesus calls disciples unto him and presents unto them the conditions, the standard of becoming his disciple, he speaks of the coming kingdom. The kingdom will come in their lifetime. There will be those that are hearing him preach that will see the coming of the kingdom. And for one to become a citizen of the kingdom, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Christ. We must depart from the land of darkness, from the shadow of death, and enter into the light, and allow that light to shine upon us throughout our life as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus began preaching, he talked about the virtues of the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 5, at verses 1 through 10, he sees this multitude, and he goes up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These great virtues begin with the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And concludes with the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so here are eight virtues of character that identify the citizens in the kingdom of heaven. Those who make up the kingdom of God are poor in spirit. They mourn over transgressions. They have a strength of character and conduct. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. They are merciful. They are pure in heart. They are peacemakers. And they are persecuted for righteousness' sake. They endure. They remain steadfast. They continue to abide as citizens of the kingdom. And so Jesus preached, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He teaches us everything that we need to understand concerning this marvelous kingdom that he was going to establish, and shows us the character of life which we must have in becoming citizens of the kingdom and in living the kingdom life. And then the Bible talks about the kingdom being established and ultimately being delivered. In Acts chapter 2 at verses 30 through 31, Peter is preaching this great gospel sermon beginning in Jerusalem concerning Jesus Christ. He says, "Therefore, with being a prophet," he's speaking of David, a prophecy of David, "and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. From the lineage of David, Christ would come, and the reason for which he would come would be to sit upon his throne. God had promised David in 2 Samuel 7 that his kingdom would endure. David had been chosen to be king of Israel. He sat upon the throne ruling Israel. And God tells him that that throne is going to stand forever because ultimately Christ would sit upon the spiritual throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. At the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he would sit upon the throne of David. He would sit upon that throne of which Gabriel had spoken to Mary concerning the conception and birth of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came forth from the dead and conquered death, he ascended into heaven, was set at the right hand of God, angels, authorities, dominions being made subject unto him." 1 Peter 3, verse 22. And so the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is established through the preaching, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And one day, that kingdom will be delivered to God the Father. 1 Corinthians 15, 23 through 26. "But every man in his own order," Paul's talking about the resurrection of the human body from the grave in this chapter of Scripture. "Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Notice the phrase, "at his coming," at the coming of Christ. The Bible often uses the phrase, "the appearing of Jesus Christ." "Then cometh the end." At the coming of Christ comes the end. "When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Jesus Christ at his coming will bring about the end of time, the conquest of Satan and death, the overthrow of darkness and death, final deliverance from the land of darkness and the shadow of death. And Jesus Christ in his coming will gather together all the saints, all the citizens of this kingdom that he has established in his resurrection, and will deliver them unto their eternal home. Peter writes in 2 Peter 1 and verse 11, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." The kingdom of heaven, through repentance, will be delivered unto God the Father to live and dwell with him in everlasting bliss through eternal ages. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.